Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries, and we are in a series, The Blessing of the Lord. Today's lesson is The Favor of the Lord. It is June 10, 2022, and I am Dr. Mary Craig. And let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who we are and whom we serve. We thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for all that Jesus did to benefit us with salvation. And we thank you, Lord, that those who are in Christ can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace and favor in a timely way. And so, Lord, we ask now that the Holy Spirit would come to guide us into the truth of your word, that the Holy Spirit would come as the Spirit of truth and as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to give us wisdom for these days in which we live and to reveal Jesus Christ to us. And, God, we pray that you would be glorified in this message today. And that we would remember, Lord, that you own everything and that apart from Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. And so, Lord, we thank you, we give you praise, we bless your holy name and ask that you be with us and help us in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Hebrews 4, verses 12 to 16 says this, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Hebrews 4, verses 12 to 16. All right, let's look into this word, charis. It is Greek 5485, and it comes from the word kar, or it means favor, disposed to, inclined, favorable towards, leaning towards, to share benefit. And so it's often translated as grace. This word is preeminently used of the Lord's favor, freely extended to give himself away to people because he is always leaning toward them. And I'm getting this from BibleHub.com on the Greek 5485. Okay, and so this word answers directly to the Hebrew Old Testament term of grace, extension, meaning extension toward. Both refer to God freely extending himself, his favor or grace, reaching, inclining to people because he is disposed to bless, to be near them. This is why I always say to remind us that God always desires to bless. He always desires to bless. He's reaching for us, leaning towards us, and he wants to do that. That's his nature, we must be in a position where we can be blessed. So did we get that? God freely extends himself, his favor, his grace. He's inclined to people, reaching and leaning towards people to share benefit because he is disposed to bless and be near them. But the Bible tells us, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. God always desires to bless. Deep down where we live, we have little hearts inclined to evil. But God seeks to make crooked places straight and freely extends his favor by giving of himself. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Jesus was sent by the Father to save a people, the people given to him by his Father. Jesus finished the work he was sent to do. Jesus is our great high priest. He ever lives to make intercession for the elect, the saints, for those who belong to him and who believe in him. We think of favor as doing a favor for someone. That's how we think of it. Mostly, we think of favor as, I owe you one. God has no favorites and is not partial. And things are not fair and equal because of God's favor. James 2:1, my brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. James 2, verse 1, God loves but is also just. He wants the best for us, and he is holy and sovereign. He distinguishes between the righteous and the wicked. No one is righteous except Jesus Christ. He is the only righteous one. Those who are justified in Christ, Jesus is the just one. He was the just, dying for the unjust. Psalm 7:11, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 7, verse 11. Understanding the favor of God can change one's life. It's not something that we are used to, that we are to use. We're actually not used to the favor of God. We're not to use it to manipulate God or to bend him to our ways and desires and will. It's there because of who God is, and God is no fool. In a message dated December 12, 2003, Pastor Jerry Vargo, I found this on Sermon Central. He commented in his sermon, The Favor of the Lord. He said this, other New Testament meanings, this is on their Greek word here, the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life, that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, and loveliness, grace of speech, what is due to grace, the spiritual condition of one governed by the power of divine grace. All right. You know, one thing that's really nice about teaching the Bible is that it never, no matter when you write on it, the Bible is like timeless. And so it doesn't matter whether you wrote something in the year 200 or 2003. Or 2022. And so that's what's good about it. We just apply it to the days in which we live currently. As we have discovered, grace and favor come from the same root word. Grace is undeserved, unmerited. Favor is something we can find. Something we can find. And we can find favor with God. Favor, comes upon those who are watching, waiting, praying, keeping the commandments of Jesus, walking in kindness and in truth, understanding and growing in the knowledge of God and His nature and ways produces favor. Finding a good wife is God's favor. Even suffering and suffering for righteousness' sake, for doing the right thing, God can lead, all those things can lead to obtaining the Lord's favor. Brokenness stands out as a step in the process of finding favor with God. Perhaps to stem the tide of pride when God's favor comes. See, because when God's favor comes, and the blessing kind of rolls in, as it were, things can move very fast. They can move very fast. Things can change pretty fast. And when God is moving, and God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. So many, the brokenness, the step of brokenness in finding favor with God is something that people don't like to think about, but it is part of this process. And I think it's to stem the tide of pride so that we don't get some notion that, oh, I'm so spiritual, or I can do whatever I want because I have the favor of the Lord, or I'm walking in the favor of the Lord. Doesn't matter what I do, and things like that. And we can get what? Well, we would say conceited or something, some word. You can think of the words. If we want to come closer to having God give us the desire of our hearts, it's going to take coming into full alignment with the Word of God, the mind of Christ, and the heart of the Holy Spirit, with the sole purpose of doing the will of God. If that sounds like it's all about Him, it is. It is. So, interestingly, throughout the Bible, it is said that we will not find anyone who had a mission from God who did not also have God's favor. The angel Gabriel came to Mary and said to her, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Luke 1:28. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Luke 1, verse 30. Mary was endowed with grace. She found favor with God. God was with her. She was highly favored. Luke 2:52 says of Jesus, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Favor can be thought of as the special affection of God that releases an influence or an anointing such that others cooperate with the plan of God for your life and for His purposes. God's favor rests upon those who go after Him and the dreams or visions or obedience that He places in their hearts. They believe the living God. They desire with their whole hearts to obey what God has purposed for them. They desire to do His will with the mind of Christ and empowered by the heart of the Holy Spirit. To show what favor looks like in real life, we're going to consider those who found favor with God from the Word of God. And we'll start with Noah from Genesis 6, verses 5 to 22. "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, 'I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. And its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above and set the floor of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind. Two of every sort shall come in to you to keep them alive. Also, take with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. Genesis 6, verses 5 to 22. So Noah found favor. He was given the mind of God, namely what God willed. He obeyed all that God commanded him, being in complete agreement with the will of God and despite all opposition. I mean, you know, it hadn't rained on the earth yet. So, I mean, and I think it took Noah about 120 years. And I'm sure all the people mocked and laughed and carried on. And he had a lot of opposition and would have, you know, persecution one way or the other, harassment, whatever. And he just kept doing what God told him to do. He had detailed orders. It took him all this time, and no matter what anybody else thought, he built that ark. And when the rain started coming, I'm sure people were shocked. What is this? What is going on? It started to rain. What in the world was this coming? And then all these animals, everything started coming into the ark, just like God said. He brought them. If you don't think he can lead animals and tell them and get them places, he can. We've had animals and they go and I ask God to please send out a holy elect angel to find that little animal and bring it home. And God has been faithful to do that with many animals over many, many years. And so, you know, God can do amazing things that we cannot do. I could really tell you stories. But, and then, you know, everybody gets inside and God closed the door and the rains came. It's a whole neat story. Read it in the Bible. If you ever watch anything, movie or something or other on Noah and his life and whatever happened, be sure you read the Bible, because many times what they show you in a movie or a documentary or whatever's going on there, often it's, they're taking what's called poetic license. It's not exact. I don't know why they can't get it right, but you get it from the Bible. All right, now let's consider Joseph. Genesis 39:1-12. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and so he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did, Joseph, to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him, and then Potiphar made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now imagine this, and let's go on. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and after a time his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But lay down. But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day when he went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. Genesis 39:1-12. And there's a very exciting story, Joseph. All right. God was with Joseph. Here's the central thing. God was with Joseph. So he became a successful man. Joseph found favor with God and also with man. Joseph remained an Israelite in Egypt. God granted him favor, and Joseph found himself in Potiphar's house with oversight of Potiphar's house and all that Potiphar had. Now that means we have to remember here what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, about look not to the honor, but tend to the responsibility. In other words, because of the favor of God, Joseph was put in an honorable position. It was an honor. But tend to the responsibility, because when you do find favor with God, mostly you're going to have more responsibility. You're going to be promoted. You will be blessed with greater income or who knows what. Maybe so many people want a name and fame. But it comes with other stuff that goes on. We have to be able to handle that. And so tend to the responsibility. And if you don't like responsibility, well, maybe just be happy where you are. If you want to be promoted, if you're really ambitious, just remember, God has to prepare you to handle greater responsibility. Greater responsibility without getting proud and arrogant and, you know, becoming like a little dictator or something. Okay, so faced with temptation, Joseph fled. But in the sovereign providence of God, he left his garment in the hand of Potiphar's wife. This all landed Joseph in prison. Joseph suffered for doing right, but God was with him, and so Joseph finds favor with the chief jailer, because now Joseph is in prison, and God gives Joseph favor with the chief jailer. Later on, Joseph found favor with Pharaoh. By this time, Joseph had learned humility, and when asked to interpret Pharaoh's dream, Joseph responded that it was not in him to interpret the dream. He said, it's not in me, it's not in me. But God would give Pharaoh the answer. Pharaoh promoted Joseph to be second only to him, the Pharaoh, like a prime minister. So Joseph became equivalent to a prime minister over Egypt, inasmuch as Pharaoh saw wisdom in Joseph and knew him to be faithful in managing things as a trustee. So we need to learn to be faithful in, I mean, balancing your checkbook. Learn how to do it. Learn how to manage the things of, you know, mammon, which are considered the lesser things, the things of this world. Be faithful in that which is least. And as we learn to be faithful in that which is least, we will also be faithful in much. We will be able to handle more responsibility. We will not be afraid of it, and we won't just sit around and say, not my problem, or there's nothing I can do about it. All right. And Pharaoh saw wisdom in Joseph. Joseph was a man who went through the process of brokenness. He did the right thing regardless, and he extended favor to others. Some warn, however, that favor can be something dangerous when a person begins to embrace everything that comes his or her way. Brokenness prepares us to be able to handle the favor of the Lord. And I think also brokenness prepares us to have greater discernment of what's coming from God and what's not. coming. This is not coming from God. This is a trap. Okay. And also note, those who have favor bless those around them. Favor can be thought of as the special affection of God that releases an influence or an anointing such that others cooperate with the plan of God for your life and for His purposes. Okay, here are some verses. Psalm 5:12, "For surely, O Lord, You bless the righteous. You surround them with Your favor as with a shield." So favor is something that's like a shield around us. Psalm 30, verse 5, "For His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning." And then going on, Psalm 36 and 7, "Now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by Your favor You have made my mountain stand strong. You hid Your face, and I was troubled." Proverbs 18, verse 22, "He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord." Proverbs, and we'll close with this, Proverbs 16, verses 1 to 9. "The preparations or plans of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." Or some versions say, "The preparations or plans of the heart in man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits or the motives. Commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. The Lord has made all things for Himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished." Excuse me. By mercy, the very important verse here coming. "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." That is Proverbs 16, verse 6. Proverbs 16, verse 6. And I'm going to say it again. That's a verse that should be memorized, really. "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." And that, you think of the work of Jesus Christ when you read that verse. Because it is by the blood of Jesus Christ that our conscience is purged. Mercy and truth. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Grace goes beyond mercy. And mercy and truth are like the two pillars of the covenant. "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right or justice. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps." And that's from Proverbs 16, verses 1 to 9. All right. And to this, we will close this lesson and say amen. And Father God, help us as we think about the favor of the Lord and finding favor, that and that because of the work of Jesus Christ, all that he has accomplished, Lord, we are to believe in Jesus. We are to believe Jesus. And we are to believe what Jesus believed. And so, Lord, help us to come to that throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace and favor in a timely way. We come boldly to that throne of grace. We give you praise. We extol you. We thank you. Let us delight in you. And Lord, we ask that you, while you promise to be with us, Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forever. It is in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.